Want to welcome y'all, man. Appreciate y'all coming back again. But I really want to get in today is the transfer portal, man. Because one of the things, and it drives me crazy, when you're a parent and you're dealing with the transfer portal, you know, from the outside, all you hear is what the fans think. The fans hear, oh, this kid is transferring. You know, they don't understand, like, what the toll that it takes on the child. They don't understand the toll that it takes on the family and what that does to us. And it's like, You want to sit here, oh, he's not loyal to the team. He's not loyal to us. Look what we've done for him. And it's like, no way. And that's why I really wanted to have y'all on here, because your son went through it, transferred, ended up at ASU. He's about to graduate. You got a young son just coming up in all this in high school and all this stuff. People just don't get that. They think you hear about all these millions of dollars, and that's great when you're a quarterback, wide receiver. But when you're that middle area guy where you're a projected starter, you don't have all the limelight that everybody else does. It's just like, well, why is he transferring? They don't understand, like, that toll that it takes. So I just really want to kind of get started with you, because you're kind of the old head when it comes to this. Yeah. You've already been through it.
Yeah, it was very difficult. Yeah. Very difficult. Carlos and I had a conference call. I wanted to at least give them the opportunity to let them know what's going on.
Right.
I wanted to give them, say, hey, we're looking to move.
Yeah.
And it kind of backfired. Because, again, like you said, you want to be somewhat loyal, because they've been there for your kid.
Yeah.
But so what we did was we took the time, called the coach, say, Carlos, go in, meet with him. And the first thing he said was, what you here for, the NIL money?
Oh.
And Carlos was like, no, coach, that's not what I'm here for. He's like, you know, I think I'm going to hit the portal. And at that point, we could have waited till January 14th,
right,
and they would have still had to pay for his spring. He would have actually graduated last year.
Okay,
but since we did not do that, that he's now graduating now.
Okay,
because like you said, transfer credits didn't transfer some of them. Even though he's at Cal Berkeley, you would think all the all the credits would transfer over to ASU, because it's, you know, a little bit more prestigious school. I mean, a little bit, Paul, just a little bit. It's Cal Berkeley, you know. But, of course, that didn't work out. So, pretty much, we tried to do it the right way.
Yeah. And when you say the right way, what's the right way? Because we went through the same thing. Is you want to go through all these checklists and make sure you're not burning bridges.
You want to give them another opportunity early as possible to make a decision so they know that, look, that scholarship is gone.
Yeah.
We're leaving.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, I would have waited till January 14th. Because what they did was they pulled his scholarship when he only needed three classes to graduate.
Right.
And that tore me up, because I'm listening to the coach and he's saying how much you love my son and we don't want Carlos to go, but you pulled his scholarship when he needed three classes. Say, wait a minute, all he needs is three. And it was the spring ball. We weren't going to stay. We were gone by May. So you're not bringing in 15 running backs.
Right.
You may bring in, okay, I did the numbers. You may bring in four
right.
or five for spring ball. Okay. But you got 14 guys leaving.
Yeah.
You got five running backs leaving, including my son.
Yeah.
So you have the scholarships.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for you to pull it. You pulled it anyway.
So why did he leave? Like, for instance, like, I know with our situation, It was tough on Deuce, because, I mean, he loved Tucson.
Right.
Like, I mean, it was emotional when I got that phone call from him. And like y'all know, you know, it was our whole coaching staff got a better opportunity to go to Washington. So when I got that phone call from Deuce, I mean, I had to talk him down off a ledge. You know, he was freaking out. He had these, like, tears. I could hear the tears through the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the first 30 minutes of the conversation was, hey, you need to calm down, man. Like, you are too stressed out. He's like, Dad, and the coaches are gone, and they gave me the opportunity, and these were the first coaches that believed in me, and they gave me an opportunity here at U of A, and I love it. I mean, he was literally just this full-on panic attack. So our first 30 minutes of our conversation was just, you got to calm down, man. Like, it's okay. And now, as a parent, I'm sitting here trying to bring him down, and for us, it was these coaches left. What are we going to do? Like, are we going to follow them? Are we going to stay here? And it's like, for us, it was the coaches leaving. Like, what was it for you? Like, why did you feel like, okay, well, I guess when was that moment that you knew, we're not going to stay here. Was it like an academic thing, playing time?
It was more of a better opportunity. Your situation was totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand why Deuce was freaking out, because these are guys that believed in him and was giving him an opportunity, even though he wasn't the typical defensive end. You know, for most teams, they gave him a chance, and he flourished. DeCarlo's situation was he just wanted an opportunity to start. They had already had a freshman come in, which was doing pretty good, little undersized. And they already said, you know, he's going to be our guy.
Okay.
DeCarlo's like, you're not going to even allow me to compete.
Yeah.
You know, you're not. So the it's our already
guy
done thing. Deal.
Yeah, our guy comment.
Yeah, that's their guy. Okay, fine. So we said, you know what? We got to go somewhere. We get an opportunity.
Yeah.
We're going to get an opportunity to play. And that's what it was pretty much. The call went a little weird after he was like, we love him. But y'all going to the enemy. And when he said that, I was like, Coach, you got to understand who you're talking to.
Yeah.
This is a business, first of all.
Yeah.
You will leave in a heartbeat if they didn't give you an extension. Don't tell me. This is a business. Yeah. You're not going to guarantee me he's going to get more touches. We can talk numbers if you want to do that.
Yeah.
And we can consider that. But I already know the writing's on the wall. You already told me that, you know, by your actions. So we had to, you know, go to ASU and get better opportunity.
Yeah. But I mean, for us, and I'm still going through it now. Yeah. I mean, like, I literally just left Tucson this weekend, because for us, we're still going through all the red tape. We're still making sure everything's getting signed, you know. But just to kind of, I guess, for everybody listening, just to let them know what's going on, it's like, you know, Jed Fish, obviously, you know, got hired at Washington. So the whole staff, once he left, those guys don't have a job. You know, they're just sitting there waiting, just like everybody else is. So everybody's in limbo. And so when he started picking his coaches and getting his coaches to come with him. And like I said earlier, you know, Deuce is just going through this freak out moment. So now at home, we're trying to figure out, what the hell do we do now? Like, I've never been through this. It's free agency, but this is college. This is your kid. This is you're listening to him have a full-on panic attack, and you're trying to talk him down. So I told Deuce, I said, listen, man, the first thing we got to do is we got to make sure we don't burn any bridges.
Yep.
Like, we're not going to go out here, piss people off, because at the end of the day, this is home for you. He loves Tucson. He didn't want to leave. But when you have a whole new staff come in, you have to figure out where you fit in that staff. So I told him, just say, hey, here's your checklist of things that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Go talk to the head coach. So he went and talked to the head coach, and the head coach was kind of like, he gives you that, well, you know, everybody's going to have the opportunity to compete, and we're going to give everybody an opportunity. So that was his first little like, okay, maybe they're not too interested. I said, okay, just hold your horses. Let's see who they bring in, a defensive line coach. So they brought in a defensive line coach. He goes and talks to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the coach is like, you know, pretty much the same story. Well, you know, we're going to give everybody an opportunity to compete. You know, I'm going to be bringing in my guys. And that's a buzzword immediately. You know, my guy means that this guy I'm bringing in, I'm going to give him every opportunity I can to succeed. I'm going to give him every chance because I know him, I trust him, I believe in him. He's a guy that I want to be with me, and that's going to help me be successful. So as we just went down the checklist, it became apparent as we kept going that, you know what, this is probably not going to be a good move for you.
Mm-hmm.
But in the back of my mind, I'm raising a young man, and not just for football, but for life.
Absolutely.
Like, don't burn your bridges. You know, when you're in a corporate world, do things the right way. Go about things in a way that if you have to come back to this, people will be like, well, you know, when Deuce was here, he handled himself the right way. So it was, as he talked to different coaches, he started getting the idea, and he started to get the feel that, Dad, you know, they really don't want me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel wanted. And now we're in a situation where I have to decide, do I want to step out into this portal? Do we want to do this? Because you don't know. There is nobody reaching out to you and telling you, hey, we want you. You know, those are the guys, the quarterbacks, wide receivers that are making the millions of dollars that everybody thinks that all these kids make. And that's just not the truth. And so for us, we were out there and we were thinking about it, and the portal was part of it. And we're like, man, I don't know. And this portal. And we just kept trying to wait and see. So like, for you, once you decided to go into the portal, like, what did you do? Like,
well, the biggest thing was for us was you're leaping out on faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what you're doing, right? You're leaping out on your kid's abilities and his faith, and you just gotta go with it. Yeah. And that's sometimes that's what you have to do in sports. You know that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just gotta believe in yourself. You gotta bet on yourself.
Yeah.
This was free agency.
It was absolutely what it is.
So, like you said, Deuce got to bet on himself. Mm-hmm. He's got to go out there, and he went with someone where they wanted him.
Yeah.
They know him. They're familiar with what he can do. They're comfortable with what his abilities are. With a new coach, like you said, coming in, he's going to say all the right things.
Yeah.
And then you see the guys coming in, you're like, wait a minute, none of them are Deuce's size.
Right.
No, none of them are Deuce's. That ain't what you normally do. Yeah, so maybe that's, you're telling me one thing, but I'm seeing
something different.
Something different. So I think you made the right decision because with DeCarlos, we already had a comfortable conversation with the Iguana once we said we're going to the portal.
Right, right.
We're familiar with Coach Iguano.
Yeah.
We know him.
Yeah.
Just
Chandler
like,
guy.
Yeah, Chandler guy.
Chandler guy, yeah.
And coached him in high school. Yeah. We know the offensive coordinator. We knew the assistant head coach, which was Coach Regal. So a very comfortable feeling. And the head coach. We knew him. Yeah, yeah. He recruited him to Memphis.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a good fit.
Okay. Now, Paul, you went through something similar. Your son's a high school player, but you had to go into – like, how am I going to make the best decision for my kid? Like, you know, that's the beginning stages that people don't understand how stressful this is and when it starts for these kids. I mean, it starts as young as high school for you.
Well, what's crazy is he's going to high school, and it was crazy just coming up with the high school to go to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't understand when you have more than, and you guys know, when you have more than one child, you have to balance that out because both my sons aren't athletes. One does music, so that already says I got two different schools to go to. And at that age, it's not just the program and the coaching and the classes and you know, how do they educate him going on to that next level, but you're also looking at logistics. I got one going to school here, but I'm going to have another one going to school there.
Yeah.
How do I get two kids to school that are both going to be out of district? Those are other things that you have to think of. But the one thing that won everything over, I think, was we were at a game, just going to support.
Yeah.
And we walked down. I have a good friend of mine. His son plays for this high school. Yeah. And so I was over there talking to him at halftime. And the head varsity coach walked by and you know, it's halftime, so he's still got business to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Walked out of his way, came over, said, you know, to my son, hey, good to see you here. How's everything going?
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second, this cat don't have to talk to you. He's in the middle of a game. That made me feel good, and I thought, well, maybe it's just a one-off. About a week or two later, went to support another game. I didn't make the game, but my wife went, and she said he actually walked up to them in the stands before the game and said, hey, good to see you supporting your guys here. And it was like, This is the place.
Yeah, yeah.
This is where you belong. You know, you're gonna work your butt off, which is great.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But this is where you belong.
You were talking about you and your wife. Like, I know for us, and I say us as, you know, Deuce, me, my wife, my daughter. Like, this was almost, I don't want to say traumatic because that sounds crazy, but it was like a ripple effect when Coach Fish got hired, and now these kids are trying to decide what they're gonna do for their future. As parents, after I got off the phone with Deuce, I'm talking to my wife like, what the hell are we going to do? Yeah. Like, I've never been. I mean, I started to freak out because now, like you said, it's I don't know what's going to happen. Like, you think you're secure. My son is here. He loves Tucson. He's enjoying his college experience. You know, he's having all the great stories like we all share.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, now that's been ripped away from you. And now you have to make this adult decision of, where do I go? What's the next step for me? And as a family, you know, I have to pretend like, okay, I got all the right answers.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I get off the phone with him, I'm looking at my wife like, what the hell are we gonna do? Like, you know, like, we don't know if anybody wants him. How is this gonna affect his school? Like, because once you step out there, you no longer have a scholarship, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. Like, you're stepping out into the unknown, and you're hoping because nobody can talk to you for like a 24-hour period until everything clears.
Mm-hmm.
So How did that affect you, which, you know, with your family, making that decision? How did it affect you? Because those are, I know for us, it freaked me out. Like, my wife not only dealing with her son freaking out, but now you got your husband freaking out, because I'm like, I don't know, what do we do? What do we do?
Well, here's the thing. We wanted his input, but he's at that age still where we could say to you, "You're this is where you're going."
Right, right.
We also know that if you just say that, they'll do it, but if their heart's not in it,
yeah.
You know, so you got to come up with that baseline, that balance.
Right.
So we actually gave him time. Yeah. Believe it or not, we gave him time. We said, "Hey, look, these are the options that you have." We talked about it. Look, this is how many people are playing at your position. That makes a difference. Mm-hmm. This is how many people they have, you know, that are graduating. This is how many people they have coming back. No matter what the reality is, this is sports. Yeah. If you have 17, 18 guys playing your position, mm-hmm. You make one mistake, coach goes, next. But next,
and you might not never see the court.
You might never see the court, and it doesn't matter how good you are. Right. If there's no real relationship there, coach doesn't care about, this may have been my off days. You had your one shot to shine. You didn't, for whatever reason, you didn't. I'm going to go to the next dude, and your time may not come back around. And so if there's no relationship, and I've always prided myself in my life and everything I've done is build good relationships.
Absolutely.
And if you're building a relationship before you even get to a place, and it feels comfortable to me, that's telling you something. Plus, look, high school sports, I hate to say it like this, but you're not married to anybody. Mm-hmm. If something goes wrong, mm-hmm. you may have to leave. We don't want them to leave. That's not how we're going into
right,
it.
Right.
But you may have to leave. That's just life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I can answer. My situation was a little different, mm-hmm. but I think the biggest mistake I made was, I'm sitting there with my ex-wife, and I'm sitting with DeCarlos. They're expecting me, because I did all the research.
Yeah.
They expected me to make the right decision. I was like you. I don't want to burn down no bridges. Mm-hmm. But then when this is chess,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I did my research. I said, okay, last year was the first year of the portal. Cal allowed two players mm-hmm. to transfer. They graduated in the spring. They allowed them to finish.
Yeah.
And they moved on. So I'm thinking, okay.
That's how the thing works.
That's how they're going to do right. this year. Let them know ahead of time. I could have played the game and waited to January 14th.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't have taken his scholarship. He could have graduated. We could have went out.
Yeah.
But that would have messed them up, because we could have waited. We would have waited.
Yeah.
Even though knowing in December that we was going to leave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I did it the right way. Thought it was the right way.
Yeah, thought you were.
My ex-wife was like, we listen to you, and they pulled his scholarship.
Yeah,
they
still pulled his fault.
Right, so I look bad. And I had to live with that for a minute.
Yeah.
And DeCarlos was like, Dad, you know what? We did the right thing.
Yeah.
They pulled the scholarship anyway. They didn't have to.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't get. It's like right. they think, oh, if you enter the portal, then if it doesn't work out, you can come back to your school. No, you can't do that, because once you say, I'm going into the portal, that's it. And that's what I know for me and my family was just so scary, was that, dude, once you make this decision, once we say we're going to do this, these are all the consequences that come with it. I mean, we took a long time to decide. I mean, it was 5 or 7 days. Like, for the month of February, it was just like,
right.
It's so stressful, and even now it's still stressful, because he's technically not there, and it's like there's so many things you have to deal with. Like, once he decided, and he talked to the head coach, he talked to his position coach, you know, he did all the checklists, he did everything, you know, right. that we would teach them to do, like, don't burn your bridges, be respectful, do the things the right way, and he was getting, I don't want to say stonewalled, but he just wasn't receiving what he felt right. like, I'm comfortable staying here and I want to be here. It was, you know, we're a new staff coming in. It's just like somebody, you know, leaving for a job. You got a guy mm-hmm. that brought you out of, picked you up out of college. He loves right. what you did, brings you into the job. And all of a sudden your boss gets hired somewhere else.
Yeah.
And for a better opportunity, do you leave? Do you stay? Because now you got a new boss coming in. And so for us, it was just this, I don't know, week long process, because even once we decided, he had talked to the D-line coach and he heard the red flag of my guy. He knew right away, okay, Dad, you've talked to me about this, you know, my NFL experience. He was just like, okay, I get it. I understand where this is going. So he got into the portal, and it was just like all of a sudden they were so focused on this top tier guys, you know, the guys that are going to keep your team together, which I totally get that. You have to do that. But that second level of guys who are going to be your starters, potential starters, you're not really focusing on it. You think nobody really wants them. We're good. We're safe. Right. And so once he made that decision to say, I'm going into the portal, it's supposed to be they have 48 hours to get all your information out there. I mean, they held him up, and not just him, but other kids that were transferring, they held him up for like 5 days. So now here comes other shiesty stuff. And then along that process, it's like now coaches are saying things. Like, for instance, I had a coach that a parent called me, and they said, I thought Deuce was entering the portal. Well, yeah, he's in the portal. What are you talking about? Well, I'm hearing from such and such that he's not going to be in the portal. So I called him freaking out like, bro, you told me that you were going to do this. Why in the hell am I hearing about you're going to stay? And he's like, no, Dad, that's a lie. And I'm like, a lie? Like, you're like, coaches are lying?
I know exactly what you went through because I had a similar situation. What was happening was, coaches did the optics, right? They didn't want all the players leaving at one time. Mm-hmm. It made the school look bad. So what happened with the Carlos situation, they had five running backs leaving out the room. That looked bad at one time. So they was telling other running backs, oh, Carlos is not leaving, and this player, he's thinking about it. The optics, that's what they were concerned about because it makes it, my situation went a little further. Because of Carlos only needing three classes, I had to talk to the dean. I had to call the president of school because this is Cal Berkeley we're talking about.
Right.
You pulling a scholarship for a kid that only needs three classes to graduate, and you got the scholarships now, but your coach, head coach was in his feelings. He told me, he's like, I don't like the way this looks. He kept saying, when I love the Carlos, he said it one more time. And I said, look, man, if you love my son, you would not pull the scholarship for three classes. So don't tell me you love him. Yeah. I said, if I love someone, you don't do him like that. Yeah. I said, I know you don't have kids, but you never do something like that. I said, don't tell me you love my son. So
I listen to y'all, man. I just laugh at the situations because they love what someone can do for them. Yeah. They don't necessarily love them. Now, there are coaches where you go through and there's a certain bond that's built and they carry it through lifetime. But if we're being honest, there's 115 kids there. And so when they say, I love this one, but you don't see, mm-hmm. there's a feeling that you get.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, no, you love what they could do, right. not them. You love the way they make you look. You love the way they, mm-hmm. you know, I always get a chuckle out of that with coaches, just because you can't love everybody.
Right.
You know, but you could be in deep like, you could, but I've always found that when you're honest, it goes a long ways.
Absolutely.
And I think that because coaches do so much posturing and worried about, like you said, the optics and this, mm-hmm. how hard is it to just tell the truth and say, look, here's the deal. We're going to pull the scholarship if he goes. Mm-hmm. That way you know what you're facing.
Yeah.
I can't have five kids leave right now.
Right.
That looks bad for me.
Exactly.
So just so you know what you're getting into going into it, then that way when it comes out, then I'm good with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To me, you lose respect when you're not upfront and honest.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a lot of parents and kids that are moving around more anything, just want honesty. Just tell me.
Yeah.
Where
do I stand?
You know, because when your son's transfer, the kid that's at the school that he's going to is hearing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm bringing in my guy.
Yeah.
I'm bringing my guy in.
Right.
So you're going to a better situation where someone's comfortable with you, mm-hmm. but be honest.
Yeah.
You know. And to me, that goes down to peewee football. That's telling parents, or peewee basketball, telling parents, your kid may need to dribble more than 5 minutes a day if he wants to get better. Don't lie and say, oh, I can see the potential. No. There ain't no potential.
But you don't want to upset people.
But you have to.
Yeah.
Now, because it is a business. Mm-hmm. Well, it's always been. Let me rephrase that. Yeah. It's always been a business. The workers now just get to benefit off of the business. So absolutely. I think that's what's changing everything.
Yeah. You know, I just to kind of go back, because we're still so fresh in it. I think one of the things that, you know, as a father, as a parent, like, that really set me off, and, you know, and forgive me for some of the language I may use. You know, once they realized that he was dead serious and he was set on leaving, they called him, and I say they, it was a GA, I think it was D-line coach and an offensive line coach, and they called him in a room. And this was maybe the day before he was going to actually enter the portal and things were going to be official. And they brought him into a room, and they're showing him the weather in Seattle. You know, kind of like, hey, you know, look at the weather up there. Look at the weather here in Arizona. So, you know, in his head, he's kind of like, okay, what's that mean? And so then they, when that didn't work, it was like they pulled up Michigan's roster. And they started showing him, well, look at this offensive tackle right here, 6'5", 330, 6'6", 310. You know, they just going down the list. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, he's just like, now he didn't say this to them, but in his head, when we talk later, mm-hmm. he was like, Dad, they were calling me a bit, they were calling me soft. And it was, he was just like, I said, yeah, that's pretty much what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so I remember getting that phone call that night. And he was just so, he was just enraged. And he was like, I can't believe this. After everything I've done, you're going to sit down now and say that I'm not good enough to go to this team or play in this division. You know, oh, stay right here in the Big 12. You'll do fine here. But don't think about being better. Don't think about being right. the best that you can be. Right. Because look at this size. Look at your weight. And it was like, I guess for lack of a better word, it was like body shaming. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a kid who the only knock on him has ever been his weight. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to gain weight. And I know people hear that and they like laugh, because it's like, oh, that's a good problem to have. But
I could show him how.
I could show him too, right? You know? But it was just like, it hurt me to hear you basically call my son soft and say he doesn't belong. Right. And that just, I mean, the things that I said that night, and I just remember it was me and my wife, because I got off the phone with him again, and so my wife is on the phone with me, and as I'm talking to him, I'm saying things, and she's just right there in the room with me, like, hey, break it down a little bit, like, this right. is going too much, but it's like, you're telling this kid he's crap. Mm-hmm. Don't set your expectations too high. Stay right here in the Big 12 where it's safe, where it's easy, where you've mm-hmm. already had success. And for him, that was like the final straw, and he was just like, Dad, I gotta be careful, because it's still so fresh for me that you basically calling my son weak and that he doesn't belong and he can't do it. So it was, once that was the final straw, and he was like, Dad, I'm done here. I can't be in a staff that looks at me like that, like, you, I'm good enough to play here, but you don't think I could play anywhere else. And so it made it much easier for us. It made it easier for him. It gave him that confidence to step out there and say, you know what, I can do this. And even when we stepped out there as a father, you know, y'all know you have the utmost respect and love, and you think your son can do everything.
Right.
But there was that 24-hour period where there was nothing.
Yeah.
There was a dark void, and we're just sitting there waiting. Right. You don't have anybody to talk to. You there's no coaches you can speak with, and you're hoping that, like, oh God, please, please let Jed Fish want him. Like, please let him have somewhere to go, because now you're scared.
Yeah.
You're like, did I make the right decision? Did I study? Did I use all my resources to help me make the right decision? And once he cleared, it was like, we got that phone call from Washington. And it was just like, oh, thank you, God. It's such a relief. And then USC called. So it was like, okay, now we have options. So now you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, my God. But going through that, and even still now, I'm still going through it, because he hasn't officially signed there. He's still here with his apartment. You know, he's roomed with four guys. You know, two of them transferred with him. So there's three of them that left the apartment. Right. One's still at the apartment. So now you got to break your lease. Mm-hmm. So how do you pay for that? And just a kind of a funny story, they got a dog between the four of them. So now you got a custody battle.
Right.
Like, who gets the dog? Right. Like, and I know that's kind of, you know, not really relevant, but that's something that they have to deal with. Yeah.
I think, Russell, it's three levels to this. And we're in stage two. where you're at now. First stage is we love you. We want to bring you your fit. Second stage is where you sure they use the fear tactic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You may not be a good fit for them because it is. Mm-hmm. The third stage is that salesman, when you go into a store and they see they can't sell you, mm-hmm. they're going to piss you off. They're going to gaslight you.
Yeah.
You leaving? Get out then. Yeah. They talk crazy. So that's the next level.
Yeah.
So that third level is when they're going to hit him with, get out, treat you like crap. You ain't this anyway.
Yeah.
Good, leave. That's the third level. Yeah, yeah. And that's going to infuriate him, of course.
Yeah.
But what you can do is get him ready for it.
Yeah. Hey, no, we went through that. That's right. What I was just saying. Exactly. Like, we went through it.
So he's going to get it from players that it was friends that stand. They're not going to speak as much. Mm-hmm. If he talked to a coach or anybody in the academic part, you got some information. They're going to be a little dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See what I mean? Things are going to change in that way. He's going to be fine. But he has to understand that's going to happen. You know, that's just the way people do.
I think the thing is that you should be proud because that tactic works on some people.
Absolutely.
I could hear the conversation because just honestly, I'm not at the level that you gentlemen were, but coaching 13, 14 U basketball, I hear what other coaches say.
Yeah.
And some of them scare kids to stay with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go here, that program and stuff, if you stay with me, we'll nurse you up to that. Yeah. And that really sounds like what they try to do. You know, too bad weather, too big, da, da, da.
Yeah.
Stay here mm-hmm. where you're comfortable. But we all know everything in life that you want on the other side of hard anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I try to be careful with it because they're still young.
Yeah.
You don't want nothing easy. You don't want easy money. You don't want easy girls. Mm-hmm. You don't want easy grades. You don't want anything easy because that sets you up in life to expect easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has to be hard. Anything hard, that's what you shoot for.
Yeah. And it's, I remember once everything was finalized and he cleared the portal and he had two offers from USC and he had Washington. And, you know, in my mind now, I'm like, okay, good. We have somebody. Somebody wants us. Mm-hmm. And so when we finally got that trip to Washington, it was just like what sold me to not even worry about going on another trip was, like you said, the love that they showed my kid. It seemed genuine. Mm-hmm. Not like we're going to give you everything, but we have a plan for you. This is what we want to do for Deuce when he gets here. Here's what we see him doing. Here's the kind of player. And so you're laying all this stuff out, and it's like, this is absolutely amazing. You see the interaction, and we've been around it, so you know that fake love mm-hmm. and trying to be cool and hip. It was a genuine like, man, Deuce, we missed you, and we're glad you're here. And for me, it was almost a given that night, like, dude, you're going to sign here, right? Like, this is what you're going to do. And so when we were at Washington, it was just a great trip. And one of the things that he said to me, like after we got back or either when we got back or when we were there, because we talked so much, mm-hmm. you know, because like you say, you're on this visit and it's a business meeting and it's a business trip and everything, you're discussing everything that happened. So they said this, they said that to you. Mm-hmm. And I remember he said to me, he goes, Dad, you know what this whole trip has done for me? And I was like, nah, what? He goes, it shows me that I'm a better player than I thought I was. Mm-hmm. You know, I was playing at this level and this is where I thought I was. This is the max of who I thought I could be and what my potential was. He was like, but to now get offers from two schools that are going to be in the Big Ten, mm-hmm. you know, USC, Washington. He said it really broadened my perspective of who I am as a player and what I can do. And for me, that was so great for him to hear that, because we as parents, we can see a kid's potential. We know what they can do. But until they can see it and open up and say, you know what, I can do this. And for me, the trip was very much pat on the back. It was an ego stroke for me because everything I had told him, he's like, yeah, Dad, I understand. You know, I should have done this. I said, hold on. I'm pulling out my phone. Like, say that again. You're saying Dad's right. But, you know, for me, it was just, and I'm just, like, I just keep going back to, we're still going through it. And it's like, now I got to drive down to Tucson. I got to get his stuff that he can't take with him. Right. I got to help him with the lease. It's so many things that people just hear about the money, and you're not being loyal to your soil, or you're not being loyal to this team. And you're like, y'all have no idea what these kids go through, what these parents go through, how it affects the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, you really need to get over yourselves, and it's not about the university. Now, you hear about that 1% of kids making millions, but these kids want to make a better opportunity for themselves. They want to give themselves an opportunity to play somewhere where they can maximize their potential.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. So, I just drove me crazy about that. But now, I want to ask you this. So, was your son, did he have a girlfriend or somebody special?
Well, the good thing was, at that time, his girlfriend was already at ASU.
Oh, okay.
She was already in Arizona.
Okay.
So, but ASU really did a great job. Coach Iguano reached out as soon as we hit the portal. He's like, when is DeCarlos coming home for Christmas break?
Yeah.
And I told him, well, he's flying in. I think that Monday he was flying in. He said, don't even go home. When you pick him up from the airport, come straight to the stadium.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay. So I pick him up from the airport. We go straight to the stadium. Right. They waiting on us. We take a little tour, and we sit down and go to business. I'm observer first.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in there, running back coach, head coach, Coach Rago, who was at Cal Berkeley.
Yeah.
He was there. And so he had three coaches that actually coached him, two from one from high school, two from Cal Berkeley.
Okay.
So they were comfortable with him. They knew him. I just sat back and just listened for about an hour and hear what they was going to do. And then we took a day, think about it, meditate on it. And he said, that's where I'm going. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was.
That's right.
You would have now, to throw that out there.
I have to admit, Colorado called
really
late. Deion called late, and Oregon called late. Yeah. But the relationship, like that you said before, somebody that believed in your son from the beginning, that means more than anything.
All the flash and glitz and glamour.
That's right.
Because I mean, for us, it was just so nerve-wracking, man. I remember getting off the phone with Deuce, and one of the first things I did, I went downstairs and I grabbed a bottle and two glasses, and me and my wife sat down at the table, and I poured, and we both were sitting there like, man, this should not have to be like this to be in college. Like, what is going on? Like, this is just too much to have to deal with, but it was good in that, you know, having been through it, NFL experience, you understand free agency, you understand the business side of it, so you can help, you know, maneuver and navigate your kids through the situation. But these are young men, like 19, 20 years old at the time. I mean, Deuce was going through this. He had just turned 20. You know, I'm telling him as a young man, 20 years old, I need you to go stand and talk to this head coach, somebody who's 45, 50 years old, who's been doing this his entire life. So as a 20-year-old, you have to have this tough conversation. And then after you have that one, then I need you to go talk to the D-line coach. You have to go talk to all these grown men. So they have to grow up so fast, and you're not there to walk them through it. You're not there to help them. Like, you know, with your son, he's still in the house. You're able to say, okay, well, you know, here we face-to-face, here's how you want to do this, here's how you're going to do it. We're here in Arizona, California.
Right.
He's down in Tucson. And it's like you're telling him what he needs to say, but I can hear in his voice that he's terrified.
Yeah.
Like, Dad, I have to go talk to these grown men about my future?
Russell, they're very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with salesmen. Coaches are salesmen.
Oh.
I mean, salesmen. So you're sending your sheep
in there to with a bunch the wolves. Of wolves. Absolutely.
Yeah, and they can manipulate. And only thing, like you said, you did a great job talking to him about that. The biggest thing I told DeCarlos, I'm going to tell you what he's going to say.
Yeah.
I know what he's going to, the talking points that's going to try to get you to stay. I know what it is. He's going to say, we're going to do this with you. We're going to do that. I said, did he do that last year? No. I said, you had your longest run at Cal Berkeley. How long was it? Carlos was like, it was 35 yards. What happened after that play? They took me out. They took me out. Why'd they take you out? Where coach said he thought I was tired. And, okay.
Yeah.
And Carlos was like, okay.
That's
light,
it.
Switch went off.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. So you got to show me. You've already showed me what you are.
Mm-hmm. You showed me what you're about, yeah. And, I mean, and like you said, I gave him things that I knew they were going to say to him to try to keep him. And, you know, I said, they're going to give you this prepared speech. And it was like, just like you said, everything that I was able to help him with, it helped him maneuver through this murky water of, you know, talking to a coach about my future. Where do you see me? You know, am I somebody that you see as a starter, as a backup, as a role player? Like, what exactly do you see me as? And when Deuce went and talked to these people, it's like you were saying, I want to go back and kind of visit where you were talking about the car salesman. Once they knew that he was going to get into the portal, now here comes, hey, you know, you got a dog. We'll get you a house with a big backyard for King, because that's the dog's name is King. And so he's like, we'll do this, we'll do that. And he's telling me all this stuff. And I'm like, Deuce, you've been at Tucson for 2 years. I said, like you said, why haven't you offered this before? Now all of a sudden you see I'm about to go. Now you want to, hey, here's the checkbook. We'll do this, we'll do that. And it's not about money. Like, we want the best opportunity for him to graduate with a great degree and the best opportunity to go to the NFL.
Right.
And if you didn't think he was that valuable 2 years ago, then all of a sudden now he's leaving. Oh, we'll do this, we'll do that. And we never asked for any money. That was one thing I just want to get across and make sure that's understood. Money was never even, we never thought about, well, if we come here, you know, I need $100,000. Or I need this, or I need that. We went and we listened. Like you said, we're observing and taking notes on everything that's being said, and it was just a better move. Right. It was just a better opportunity for my son. And as a parent, I'm going to miss him being so far away, but this is part of his growing up phase. This is part of him becoming a man.
Absolutely.
Here's what's crazy. I think that should be inquired, to be honest with you. Right. I think the money should be inquired because every dime that a player doesn't get in NIL, that's a free royalty for that school. That they're just passing it on. The collective is just passing it on to someone else. So why not get what you've... See, here's... Unfortunately, you guys played in an era where the coach could determine all of your outcome.
Absolutely.
And if I'm wrong, I apologize for being wrong. But you couldn't transfer without losing a year.
Yeah.
Some conferences, you can't even transfer in conference.
No.
So they controlled everything. You piss them off, you ain't playing. You doing this, you got to wait. You know what? I have another kid that's coming in. I want to see what he looks like. If he looks like crap, then I'll give you your shot.
No leverage.
So you had nothing.
Yeah.
I think now I like the fact that these kids have leverage. And not only do I like the fact that they have leverage with the NIL and the portal, but I think it prepares them, especially, and like you said, I'm not talking the top tier, but what if you are a fourth rounder? What if you are a fifth rounder? What if you are an unsigned free agent? You now have negotiations in your background. You know, you now know that there may be other teams that want your services.
Yeah.
And so when money is brought up, I don't think that's a bad thing because it's out there and it's going to somebody. Yeah. Why not you?
Yeah. I can tell you my story on that. Like I told you, at the end of that meeting with the head coach, running back coach, I was quiet. I wanted to see if they was going to bring up NIL.
Because
if you say you want him, you got to put your money where your mouth is. Yeah. If he's going to play for you, unfortunately –
this is the nature of
this. Do you understand who gets all the opportunities? The person that pays the money. Okay, so how do you see my son fitting in, coach? Well, he can be number one or number two. Okay, at the worst, he's number two, which means he's going to play, right?
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. I understand NIL's there, collectibles. I'm not expecting my son to be number one or gets all the money.
Yeah.
But he should be in that top tier.
Yeah.
If he's not in that top tier, that's going to tell me he's not going to get the opportunities. That means you think he's at the bottom, so he's not going to get it. So he should be in the top tier of the collectibles, NIL collectibles, how you ever want to say it. He should be in the top tier.
See,
honestly, I know you.
That's uncomfortable. It's different for me.
I know, I Russell. We had that conversation.
Yeah, we've talked about it a lot.
It's uncomfortable, but. Again, you know sports. You got to be okay with being uncomfortable.
No. But
and
for
that's
Deuce,
a business move. That's business. You have to know your worth. And if they say your worth is high, then you have to put the money behind it or he will not get the money, he will not get the opportunity.
See, and I view that for Deuce anyway, and I'm only speaking for his situation. Right. Deuce has been, for lack of a better word, a career backup. Mm-hmm. Do I know what he can do? Yes. Do I think he can play at a high level? Yes. But like I told him, I'm like, bro, you got to look at, we're going from U of A to Washington. You've been a career backup, and they see so much in you that they're willing to say, we're going to take a chance on you because we know what your upside is. So we're going to bring you to a bigger platform, a bigger program. Opportunities for NILs are bigger here than they would be in Tucson. So for me, those were the things that were important to me because I knew Deuce had all the potential in the world, but right. potential just means you ain't done nothing yet. Right. That's just what that, I mean, let's just be honest. When somebody right. tells you you got potential, right. that just means I see something in you. And I'm like, right. you don't see very often a kid go from a Division II to Power Five, you know, right. FSU, Texas, Alabama, right. unless they really see something. And for me, I'm like, I just feel like once you start chasing that money, you never stop.
Let me give you a situation scenario, and you understand this. Let's say Deuce is, he's rotating, coming in on third down, doing his thing,
yeah.
which I'm thinking Deuce going to do. Let's say he comes in on third down. He comes out. They got a freshman that they like. Let's say he was all this.
Yeah.
Five-star. You know how to
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Let's say he comes in. He gets a sack. He start doing his thing. Him and Deuce are playing at the same level.
Yeah.
He's a freshman. Deuce is not. Deuce is a redshirt yeah, sophomore, yeah. whatever, right? He's the five-star. They've talked to him about getting money because he was a five-star,
yeah.
okay? Who you think will get more opportunities? They got the same sacks.
I don't agree with that, man.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what.
I know you don't agree with it. What I'm going to tell you is they're going to give the guy that they promised the money the more opportunity.
Okay, I see that, but – It goes sense, back Paul? To, once again, like it, I was talking about, if Deuce is balling and he's getting the sacks and he's making plays, I just feel like that money, and this is just my mindset, and I'm old school. I just think when you start introducing that money, it just corrupts it. And you know, and like you said, unfortunately, this kid may not be better, but we just gave him 100 grand versus giving Deuce the bare minimum. So financially, we have to put, and I don't like that. I like the best player plan, and I feel like when we went there, when we made this decision, it was financially there were better opportunities going to Washington. Just overall, right. just stipend was better. The opportunities right. to make money was better. So I'm betting on, like we talked about, I'm betting on Deuce that he's going to go there and he's going to bust his ass and he's going to do what he needs to do to be that guy.
Right.
And you just set yourself apart to where I'm so good, coach, you can't take me off this
field. Right.
But here's the thing, though, and this comes from me talking to a coach, and I'll leave his name out.
Mm-hmm.
If you recruit a five-star player, you have to re-recruit that five-star player. So if I have to re-recruit him and I'm paying him already, that collective is saying to me, hey, we gave you $50,000 for him.
Yeah.
Even if you're going to not play him a lot, I need to see more to know if I need to give you more money next year. So it's not always about who's playing better. When you got those people in your ear saying, hey, I forked over a lot of money. Now, if they suck, they suck. Yeah. But I got to see it so that way I know where to put my money. And both you gentlemen played in the NFL.
Right.
If a round one quarterback sucks, he's going to get opportunity. Yeah. After. Oh. So look, and even ones that don't suck, Baker Mayfield, and I'm not picking because I think Baker's a good quarterback.
I think you are picking, but okay.
No, I'm really not picking because I think he got put in a bad situation with a coach that shouldn't have been a head coach to begin with.
Right.
So he goes through 3-4 OCs and head coaches. Well, he's a first-round pick, so he gets another shot.
Yeah.
Then he gets to L.A., he gets another shot. Then he gets to Tampa, he gets another shot.
Yeah.
If he's picked in the 5th round,
no,
is he going to get that many tries to be a starter? Same thing. Unfortunately, it's the same thing in college now. If I'm paying for that 5-star,
yep.
he going to get more of an opportunity for my money than someone who, even though I may like him equally, I had to pay for this one.
What I'm saying, maybe I can say it differently.
No, Russell. No, you were fine with what you said. I just
Russell, when Deuce get his opportunity, it's like he's making an incentive package.
Yeah.
Let me put it in an NFL scenario. Okay, you're getting the minimum.
Yeah.
But if you ball out,
yeah,
we go get you an incentive package to make X, Y, and Z. Right. You get 10 sacks, you overseed, we got to up your money.
Right, right.
That's all I'm saying.
No, no,
you
get
have
that.
To put that contingency in there, and I hate it like you do, because the best player should play.
Yeah,
and
no matter
unfortunately,
what.
It's a business now.
Yeah, yeah.
When money is involved, unfortunately, you got to stick out there and you got to say it. Because if you don't say it, they're not giving it to him.
No, I get that. Now, if we come to a point like after this year or whenever, let's say he does reach those crazy numbers, then, okay, now we have a different scenario. Now, hey, look, we've been loyal. We, you know, and I guess loyalty means a lot to me because, you know, he was an undersized defensive lineman coming out of high school. Nobody really gave him an opportunity. So here it is. This coaching staff believed in you, and they said, we want you. For 2 years, like, he talked to me during this whole process of, Dad, I believe in my coach. My coach believes in me. I feel like he's helped me develop to be the player that I want to be. So that loyalty meant a lot to us.
Yeah.
And you don't get that often with coaches. So I didn't want to muddy those waters coming in and asking for money. And, you know, because once you start asking for money, now, okay, well, then if I'm going to give you this money, then you need to produce. And the minute you start slipping, well, you're not doing what we need. It just becomes so difficult for these kids. So I guess I just feel like the longer I can keep money out of his circle as far as college goes, I think the better player he becomes. I think because he can focus on what's important. And you're going to get money. That's going to come with it. But when you start saying, okay, all right, if I get 8 sacks, then I can go back and ask for 6 figures. Or if I get this, if I do that, your mind starts to go places that you're just, you're not focused on.
You
got to
plant the seed. Like, you can't ask. You can ask for it.
Yeah.
But you have to plant the seed that, hey, I know how this works.
Yeah.
Whoever gets the most money, NIL money, collectibles money, however you want to look at it, goes going to get the most opportunities. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's what it is. Yeah. And the 4 or 5 stars, I could have made my son a 4 star. I didn't take him to that camp.
Yeah.
Honestly, I had to kick myself for that because I could have made him a 4 star, which will catapult, give him more opportunities.
Right.
And it's people, I don't like that because camp was crap.
Yeah, I don't like that star stuff. I hate it.
But it is what it is. We can't change the system.
Yep, unfortunately.
But you got to learn how to work it.
I know you and I talked about that a long time ago, about the whole process and the way it is and loyalty. I'll always say it, your loyalty to your wife and your family.
Yeah.
Because, in all honesty, when it comes to a business decision, everything that has to do with anything. Heck, this goes back to the corporate world.
Yep.
There are people, I spent 25 years in the corporate world. Yeah. There are people that if they called me and they work for me and I know how good they are, you don't think I'm going to make a space for them? And someone who's, they could find their way to the door. Everyone always says, well, that's sports. Sports is corporate America.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's all about the business anyway.
It's big business.
I mean, there's a reason why teams that suck still fill stadiums. And it's because you get players with names.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an accident. It's hard to fill a 100,000-seat stadium, a 70,000-seat stadium, when your team has no opportunity to win. But they find ways because it's business.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, man. I just know from my kid,
you're innocent. Man.
No, far from being innocent.
You're innocent. You haven't been debaucherized enough yet.
Yeah, no, I've played in the NFL. Believe me, I know all about
devil,
it.
That's a big Sun Devil word too.
I know from my kid, he's always had to get it out the mud. He's always been underrated. He's always, you know, he led the league 2 years in a row. He leads Arizona in sacks, and he's a 3-star. There's kids that came out his year, at least 4 kids above him that are ranked higher than him, and you go look at what they're doing and look at what he's doing, and he's head and shoulders above all of them.
Yep.
So for me, I guess maybe it's naive. Maybe I still want to believe that if you bust your ass and you do everything, you know, you go out on that field and you leave it out there and you show them that I am the guy and I deserve to be on this field. I guess I still believe that holds some merit, that coaches are still going to be like, I get it. I gave this guy this much money. Excuse me. I gave this guy all this money, but here's a kid that every play he brings it. I never have to worry about his attitude. I never have to worry about what he's doing off the field, his grades. I still think that means something.
And it does, and that gets him in the NFL. if he could play.
Yeah.
That's going to give him an F. But along the way, that just, he's just not your son.
No, I get what you're saying.
But just any kid is going to miss out because that coach is, everything
takes care of itself. And I guess that's my thing. I'm looking at the NFL money. It's just like, NFL money to me is bigger than NIL
always.
Money. Right. You know, your defensive ends nowadays get $150 million. You're not going to see no money like that in college. Right. Like, so for me, and then him coming from an environment where money's not his driving force.
Yeah,
you know, he's been around nice things. He's been around NFL. He's been around NFL players. Mm-hmm. He understands what that chess game is.
Right.
We're not playing checkers. So if he can get some money along the way.
The money is not necessarily, like you said, is the end all.
Yeah.
What they've done is, like Paul said, it's a business to the point where, and I hate to keep saying this, the opportunities in line with the money. Yeah. The most kids that get the most passes on the team, he's the one that gets the NIL money. The D lineman, he's put in a better position by the DN, by the defensive back coach, D coordinator, to get the sacks. He's the NIL money. I watched it with ASU, Green.
Yeah.
He was our best DN. Yeah. They moved him around. Yeah. They didn't keep him on one side. Why not? They wanted to make sure he gets his sacks because they're paying him. Yeah. And unfortunately, I know it sounds cruel, but the opportunities in line with the money, and I watched it at Cal Berkeley. I watched it at Ohio State.
I've seen it at U of A.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it.
Right.
But
and it's
going to
continue.
I just know what he's capable of, and it just.
Oh, he's going to do his thing.
Yeah, he's going to do his thing.
But what you want to do is make sure, I'm not saying you demand a certain amount, but you have to let them know, look, I know you will give him more opportunities if you give him that money. And if you're giving the money to the guy behind him, he's going to get more opportunities, which that's the part I don't like, because it ain't because he's better. Yeah. It's because you gave him that money. That bothers me.
I totally understand what you're saying. And I, you know, that's why I love having you guys all here, man, because we have these kind of, you know, discussions where it's just, we're so knowledgeable about the sport and the ins and outs of it that I guess this is the part where I have a problem with, and what this NIL has done to football, and especially the amateur status. Like, we all feel like they should be paid. We all feel like these kids should make some money. They should. I love the fact that they can transfer and they can make moves like coaches get to do. But now you deal with the ugly side, and here comes money. And it's not that the best player is playing. It's the kid that's making the most money. It's the kids that are moving. You know, you want to move him around because I just gave this kid six figures, so he's got to get the most touches. He's got to get the most throws. He's got to get all these things just to get back to the portal. And just so people understand, like, it is something that is very serious, and the entire family goes through it. It's not just about loyalty to a team. Mm-hmm. It's not that people are leaving for more money. I mean, there are a lot of factors that go into why a kid transfers, and I hope that listening to this, that's what people can get from this, is that, wow, this is a part of the transfer portal that I did not understand, that I did not know emotionally and psychologically what it does to a family and the kind of stress that it puts on them. So as fans, they need to understand that it's more than just about ASU or U of A or Cal or whatever it is. Like, these kids have to make the decisions that's best for them. So, you know, when they do make these transfers, and you see the money, you'll see guys that'll transfer because of money. But a lot of times these kids are transferring because they do want a better opportunity and they want a chance to be successful. So,
no, I get it. I don't have a problem with the kid transferring for whatever reason case may be. If it's for money, let's say my son is a receiver. He's at a school. My quarterback is terrible. Do I stay at that school? Yeah. My quarterback is terrible. He's getting me killed. He's throwing high. He's throwing low. I'm getting my head knocked off. Yeah. And then I got a better school, got a better quarterback. I got to transfer. I was like, hey, I see it.
Mm-hmm. I love the ability for kids to transfer. What I don't like is you have third string talent, but you want to leave because you're not getting first string opportunity.
Mm.
And I think that's where the real talk has to happen with that person, because you'll see a kid say, well, I wasn't getting an opportunity. Well, but you're not good. Yeah. And so I think that's when you see kids moving. Well, if you didn't play here and you didn't play here, and now you're in, you know, Division III, didn't reality tell you maybe you're not D1? Yeah. So I think that's, those are the conversations that I think need to be had. Not the kids that are coming up to D1 that got looked over and transferred, but the ones that are going down to play.
Well, look, man, I appreciate y'all coming on here, man. As always, we can go on for hours and hours talking, man, but it's always a pleasure having y'all on, and I appreciate y'all coming back.
Thanks for tuning in to The Route. Don't forget to subscribe and connect with us on socials for exclusive updates. We'll see you next week.